All right, a new poll has stated that over 80% of congregants want their pastors to speak out in regards to current events. They want them to address it from the pulpit. That's what we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, and I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if you listen to last night's podcast, you'll know that one of the statements I made on there was, we have a reprieve now. I believe our nation has been given a reprieve. We've been given a window of opportunity of grace for the church to do something. And one of the questions I proposed was, what do we do with this? Well, one of the things that we can't do is remain silent in regards to current events, to sin, and the destruction that it's causing among the church. And this is the problem that we've had for a long time. Is we've allowed sin to go rampant in the church because we don't want to address it. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to address lifestyles that are deemed to be abominable according to the Word of God. We don't want to deal with hot button topics that that would be deemed political. So as a result of the pulpit remaining silent, I believe this is one of many factors that has played a role in causing the decline of the voice and the conviction of the church today. So we're going to get into this today, and we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about this, and I'm going to show you the repercussions of what happens when the church remains silent, and then I'm going to show you what is waiting down the pike if this continues in the way it's going. Before we get started, guys, can you do me a favor in the chat and wherever you're watching us, give us a like, hit that like button, help us push this out, help us get eyes on our program. And for your benefit, why don't you go ahead and hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. That's going to keep you updated and up to par there with our ministry on these social media platforms. All right, guys, here's the poll. 80% of Protestant churchgoers want pastors to address hot topics. 4 out of 5 Protestant churchgoers in the U.S. believe pastors should address current issues, according to a new report. According to Lifeway report that released a poll recently, 80% of Protestants believe a pastor must address current issues to be doing their job. Think about that. 80% of their congregation believes that their pastor must address current issues in order to be properly shepherding their church, while 16% don't, and 4% are unsure. Some 62% of respondents said their pastor addressed current issues either every week or almost every week, while 23% said they spoke about them at least once a month, and then 12% say they spoke about them rarely or maybe several times a year. Scott McConnell, who's an executive director of Lifeway Research, was quoted in the report as saying that as the culture increasingly includes fewer overly Christian elements and more non-Christian ideas, translation, as the church becomes more worldly and as the world begins to influence the church and the church not influence the world, churchgoers are hungry to know what the Bible says about life issues. Quote, churchgoers notice that most pastors are not just preaching from the Bible as a historical document, stated McConnell. Pastors seek to explain the original meaning and context, but then apply those principles to issues and situations today. Such application of the biblical text helps churchgoers recognize its relevance. Guys, this right here personifies our ministry. This is the bread and butter of what our mission statement is. To give you news and headlines, again, current issues from a prophetic perspective. So this is the personification of our ministry. The report also found that Methodists, 96% of them, and members of Restorationist movement churches, which is 89%, were among most likely to believe pastors should address current issues, while churchgoers, age 65 and older were among the most likely to disagree that pastors have to address current issues. That's interesting. 65 or older among the most likely to disagree that pastors have to address current issues. The report drew from an online survey of 1,008 U.S. Protestant churchgoers conducted on September the 19th through the 29th of last year, with the margin of error of plus or minus 3.2% at the 95% confidence level. So guys, before we go any further in this, I'd love to hear from you in the comments, in the chat. What do you think? Should your pastor, we better get 100% on this. I'm just saying, we better get 100% on this vote. Do you think your pastor should talk about current issues, things that make headlines, things that are relevant to society, things that are political hot buttons? Should your pastor, your shepherd of the flock, should he address these things from the pulpit, or should he remain silent? So go ahead and let us know in the chat. Hit yes if he should speak, and hit no if he shouldn't. Earlier this month, Lifeway released a report saying that the percentage of Americans who see pastors endorsing a particular candidate in church as appropriate has risen steadily over the past 16 years. Now, there was a time when that was really kind of unheard of. In the earlier report, Lifeway found that while only 13% of respondents in 2008 found pastors endorsing a candidate in church as appropriate, the number has grown to 29% this year. Now that the election is over and the dust has settled, do you believe that this was influential in turning the tide? Do you think it's going to be interesting when we get these numbers out? Because nobody really knows yet. They have to go and do all these research. I don't even really fully understand how they get all these numbers that they get to do these polls. But it's going to be interesting to see. I know that Barna was projecting that there was going to be 30 plus million self-proclaimed Christians that didn't even go to the polls. They didn't even go and vote. So I wonder if that came to fruition, or if it did, then that means that the amount of votes that came in was not from the church, but it was from outside sources that typically don't, either one, they don't particularly vote. I know we had a huge influx of Amish in Pennsylvania that was coming out to vote, which was, this was different. Or was there a lot of there was a lot of people that were registered Democrat that shifted and they cast their ballot for Trump? Or, watch this, or did the projections turn out to be untrue, and Christians this time realize the magnitude of what was at stake and at hand, and they went out and they stepped out and they voted? So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Now, let me shift gears here. Let's talk about this, because I want to get away from quote-unquote politics, if you would, but we'll talk about the significance of why I believe a pastor needs to address sin in the body of Christ. Now, I would love to see a poll on this. In fact, let's do one right here. If you guys that are in the chat, in the comments, do you believe a pastor should address sin from the pulpit? For example, let me give you an example. The greatest example of this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because this is exactly what happened here. This is the church of Corinth, and there was a report that was given to the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle of this church, that sexual immorality was taking place in the church, where a man was having an affair with his father's wife. So I've got this pulled up on the screen for you guys. Listen by app or Spotify. By the way, thank you guys. We appreciate you guys on podcast listening by Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Again, do us a favor. I know you can't hit the like button because you may not be watching this visual. But again, always, if you enjoy our content, you can help us out by giving us a good review in the review section. Anyway, so the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church, and he addresses sin in the body of Christ, in the church that was happening. And this is what he says here, quote, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife." And he goes on and says, "And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned." And again, this word puffed up really means they're prideful about it. They're not even addressing the issue. They're ignoring it. They're sweeping it under the rug. Look what he says. "And you've not even mourned. You've not rather mourned that he who has done his deed might be taken away from among you." Look at this. Paul is saying that we should not be tolerating this stuff in the body of Christ. "For indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together," it's talking about when they're together having church, "along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one as Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." But what he's saying here, guys, is the Apostle Paul is giving instructions to this church. This is how you're going to have to deal with open sin in the body of Christ. You need to address it. And first of all, you need to expose it, address it, and handle it. And in this case, he exposed it. He addressed it. And then he gave instructions on how to handle it. And in this circumstance, he told the church to excommunicate this man, excommunicate him from the faith of the church, and pray that the hedge of God be lifted off of him so that he may repent of the sin that he was committing. That's what he meant when Paul said, "Give him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that in his soul may be saved." Satan will whoop up on him and buffet him, but the hopes is that it will drive him to repentance. And that's exactly what happened, because you can go and read the second letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. And he addresses the same church again. And he tells them, look, and I'm paraphrasing this young man has come back after, we don't know how long of a time it was, but he has repented and he has turned from this sin. And now he wants to come back into the body of Christ. And Paul addresses them and says, be sure that you welcome him back into the fold, lest he be swallowed up in sorrow. So, I'm trying to make this applicable to today. You know, I don't see a lot of churches that address sin like this. I'm just saying I don't. I don't see pastors and shepherds handling sin like this. In fact, a lot of shepherds and pastors today will just turn a blind eye. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. They don't want to lose their top tithers. They don't want to lose their top donors. So they just permit and allow. Paul said they allow leaven to leaven the whole lump, and he says we're to purge it out. Now you say, well, what's the point of this, Brother Ricky? Why are you even addressing this and bringing this up? Well, this is what I'm talking about. Look at this. I want to show you this new report. Majority of practicing Christians admit to viewing adult. I don't want to get flagged on this, so let me think how I want to word this. Majority of practicing Christians are admitting to viewing adult content online. Howbeit their phones, their laptops, videos, whatever the case may be. Now listen to this. And many are comfortable with the habit. Let's read this. A majority of practicing Christians, including pastors, admit to viewing adult content, and a large share say they are comfortable with the habit. This is according to a new Barna study recently released, a research report, Beyond the adult content phenomenon produced in partnership with Pure Desire Ministries. Researchers found that this content use is so prevalent among all demographics, and the gap in use among Christians and non-Christians, as well as men and women, has grown narrower over the last 8 years. Let me say that again. The margin of Christians and non-Christians viewing adult content has gotten narrower and narrower, meaning there's, again, no distinction here. Even though practicing Christians were still found to be viewing this less frequently than non-Christians, the gap between the two groups was only 14 percentage points. Some 54% of Christians reported viewing adult content compared with 68% of non-Christians. In general, 75% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women reported consuming this on some level. Quote, despite the church's stance against lust generally, it seems little progress has been made to deter many of those who fill the pews from consuming adult content specifically. Researchers said the gap between professed beliefs and actual behavior raises questions about the efficacy of current approaches with faith communities. Again, I want to hear from you guys, because we hear about all these polls and you're like, well, I didn't get polled. So you know what? We're going to poll you. Now, don't worry. I know some of y'all are sweating bullets because you think I'm going to ask you, do you look at this? I'm not going to ask you that. Okay? Because that's between you and the Lord. You know the truth. Here's what I am going to ask you, though. Since this is all, I'm in context of our entire foundation of our message of what we're talking about here, the center focal point. Does this get addressed from the pulpit of your church? Does your pastor speak out against this? Does he bring up the significance of why this is dangerous and how it's destroying families and destroying lives and destroying marriages? Does he speak about this? Does your pastor address sin from the pulpit? We'd love to hear from you. Or are they generally silent on this issue? The study noted that in the last 8 years, since the report was first published, the rapid shift in the cultural and digital landscape has compounded the issues in the church with adult content and unwanted sexual behavior. Beyond the adult content phenomenon represents a sobering call to realize our collective struggle has not improved. In spite of some initial steps to bring health to the church, the average Christian is not experiencing freedom in this area. Wow, that is so sad, guys. The average Christian is not experiencing freedom in this area. 75% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women report they are viewing this stuff at least occasionally. He went on to say that the statistics for this use among today's young adults, Gen Z, are even worse. So again, among today's youngest adults and Gen Z, these statistics right here are even worse. Quote, what may be more troubling is that well over half of Christians who view this content say they are, quote, comfortable with the use of it. Now, I've got to stop here for a second and let this resonate. Over half of professed Christians who look at this regularly say they are comfortable with the habit. They don't see any desire to be free from it. They don't have any desire to be to abstain from it. They don't see nothing wrong with this. Now, you have to ask yourself, guys, where is this coming from? Is this a result of a pulpit remaining silent on sexual immorality? Which, by the way, sexual immorality, guys, is an umbrella term for fornication, adultery, sodomy, another term that means relations with animals, homosexuality. I think I already brought that up. All of that stuff is... this is an umbrella term, and it's called sexual immorality. Now, this was one of the five sins that resulted in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The book of Ezekiel talks about this. And then Paul addresses this in the New Testament and says that these things, and he's pointing to Sodom and Gomorrah and their demise because of what they were practicing. He said, these things were written for our admonition. And he basically said that if we go in the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, we will meet the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus didn't mince words, guys, on how when he addressed these issues. The reality for those who struggle in the church is that they too often feel like they are alone. Again, sad. When asked, who is helping you with your struggle with this? A staggering 82% of Christians say that no one is helping them. Isolation is the enemy's playground. And this is so true, guys. This one of the greatest books I ever read was called Every Man's Battle. Now, they have an Every Woman's Battle, too. They have an Every Young Man's Battle. I have the book on my shelf. I've got it in paperback. I've got it on tablet. And then my 16-year-old son's got Every Young Man's Battle. And I believe that my wife has Every Woman's Battle. These are awesome, powerful tools to equip yourself with, because they need to know the importance of the struggles of this is real, guys. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to come from a background of vulnerability here. This was the biggest struggle I had. And even to this day, friend, I have to be on guard. I have to guard my eyes. I have to hold myself accountable to my wife. And I have a close network of Christian brothers that we discuss these things at times, because this is the thing, guys, we are flooded with these images. I mean, I can't even go on any social media without some kind of an ad coming up with a half naked woman on it. And even half naked men. It's everywhere. It's on television. It's on billboards. It's in magazines. It's in commercials. You can't even watch a football game or whatever. And the commercial comes on and it's just absolutely ridiculous. So I believe this is something that's relevant to all of us. We are being bombarded by these explicit images of sexuality continually. And being, you know, my background, I came out of a home that was not serving the Lord. And I was exposed to adult content at a very early age. I'm talking about before I was under the age of 10. And because of that, that seed got planted and it became a stronghold. And for years, I struggled with this. I had videos. I had magazines. There was no social media back then. I had all this stuff. And then I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, this was a powerful testimony. When I got saved, I got saved in a Church of God of Prophecy in Kentucky. We went to a camp meeting. This is where we all would go to camp, and it would be like a 3-day camp meeting. It was Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. And I got so on fire for the Lord, and God just delivered me of so much stuff. I went back home because I lived with my parents at the time. And I don't think I've ever told this publicly, but I try to live a life of transparency because I know it helps people, because there's people out there, guys, I'm telling you, we get the emails, we get the letters, we get the messages, and they're like, oh my gosh, your story resonates with me. Your story is just like mine. And a lot of people listen, watch this. People, let me go back to this. 82% say they struggle because there's nobody to help them. They're ashamed. They keep it in the dark. So I got on fire for God, came back home to my parents' house. The first thing I did was I had a tote full of magazines and videos. Yes, you heard it, a tote of this garbage. And I destroyed it immediately, came home and destroyed it, and I felt just freedom come off of me. Now, can I say to you that I've not struggled from that point on? No, because again, those devils will still come knocking. You will still be tempted. The Bible says that every man will be tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. All of us will be tempted. I don't care. And listen, here's the reality of it. You will never stop being tempted until you either one are raptured, which you're caught up alive and taken to heaven, or two, you die and you go on to be with the Lord. Until then, you're going to be tempted. Now, you may not struggle with sexual immorality, and good for you. Praise God. But it doesn't mean you're not tempted with gossip or slander or lying or stealing or pride. Come on, somebody. Pride and lying and stealing will get you to the same hell, come on, as viewing pornography. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? This is real talk. Over 62% of individuals surveyed in a study in general expressed comfort with their level of consumption of this. Another 16% said they had some reservations about it, but said they found moderate levels of use acceptable. This group still wished they did not use it as frequently. The study further highlighted how comfortable people have become with adult content, as only 14% expressed a desire to kick the habit entirely. Think about that, guys. Only 14% wants to kick the habit and get delivered, while a staggering majority want to keep this as a pet sin. Now, you know what this reminds me of? Let me show you something. In the book of Hebrews, it's interesting because the Apostle Paul talks about we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And by the way, that great cloud of witnesses is all those who have gone on to be with the Lord. They're already in the third heaven. They're in paradise waiting for, come on, that trumpet to blow and the resurrection of the dead. This is a great cloud of witnesses. This is what Paul's talking about. The heroes of faith, all of them are up there. He says, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, look what he says, lay aside every weight and the sin. He didn't say, let us lay aside every weight and sin. No, he said the sin. He was specific about this. And I don't believe that this is just a matter of grammar, or I don't think this is a matter of a play on words here. I believe Paul was being specific when he said, lay aside the sin, because the reality is, guys, if we were to really be truthful and allow the Lord to do a self-examination of our hearts, and we were to be completely truthful, every one of us can say there is the sin that we have in our life that we struggle with. We have to crucify it daily. We have to put it to death daily. We have to put it under the blood daily. We have to ask grace for it. There is the sin. Now, again, it's going to vary from person to person. And this is what James says. Every man is drawn away by his own lust. Everybody has the sin. But notice that Paul talks, he emphasizes the importance of laying aside weight and the sin to run the race, because these are the things that easily ensnare us. All right. So the whole sum of this is we have to go back to the Bible, and we have to look at this as our blueprint and as our guide. And we see, again, I showed you an example in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul addressed a church that was failing to address sin in the body, and he expressed the importance of why it had to be addressed. It had to be addressed because he likened it unto leaven, that if the leaven is not removed from the body, it will spread through the entire body of Christ. And this is what we're seeing, guys, on a national level. I believe globally that the church has to, come on, get her voice back. Come on, we always talk about the emphasis of make America great again. What about let's make the church great again? What if the church had a voice again? What if they had conviction again? What if they had standards again? What if they had the anointing again? What if they had the fire again? What if they had the witness again? You want all these things back? We have to go back to what the Bible gives us as a guide and blueprint on how to make this thing run and operate efficiently. Again, we stray from the blueprints, then we've created a machine that is going to be a failing machine that is not going to produce any fruit and results. All right, now I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to talk about, I want to go over here to the United Kingdom. I want to show you this all plays into this and into exactly what we're talking about here. Look at this. United Kingdom lawyer warns Christians of cultural consequences if LGBT laws sin protected godliness punished. What is this about? British attorney Andrea Williams warned millions of South Koreans gathered for a worship service that the country might soon face devastating challenges similar to those that Western nations have encountered if it embraces legislation that paves the way for LGBT ideology to impact their daily lives. Again, this is why we stressed how important it was to get out there and vote. And vote against this stuff. Because why? Because this ideology will impact our daily lives. Let's read on. We have removed Jesus from public life. Wow. Williams, founder of Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Center, declared to an estimated 1.1 million South Koreans gathered in Seoul on Reformation Sunday. We talked about that in a podcast we did last week, I believe. People do not know who Jesus is, she continued. They do not know that he is the savior of the world. We have removed him from the classroom. We are embarrassed by our Christian heritage. And now this is the United Kingdom. We're not talking about America here, but as we always say, if the shoe fits, wear it. We have legislated for the right to destroy our unborn children, 10.4 million. We have legislated to redefine family and marriage by saying two men and two women can be married and have children. We have legislated to say that a man can change the sex, his sex to be a woman and a woman to a man. Our equality, diversity, anti-discrimination, and hate laws enshrine this as the new normal. Williams warned that in the United Kingdom, if people refuse to conform to these laws, you are punished. Wow. Adding, quote, sin is now protected in law and godliness is punished. Let me say that again. Through these laws and legislations, if you speak out, if you speak biblical values, you stand for the word of God, you will meet consequences, persecution, and be punished. And she said that, quote, sin is now protected in law and godliness is punished. Listen what else she says here. Street preachers are regularly put in jail. Workers can lose their jobs for offering Bibles or prayer. And I've got an example of that. We're not going to share that today because we're running out of time. But I'll come back on here and I'm going to show you a doctor recently who they lost their job because they shared their faith. Doctors, nurses, and parents are being reported to their employers, the police, or terrorism squads unless they promote the LGBTQ agenda. Bank accounts are closed and charity statuses are removed. Wow, look at that, guys. That is profound right there. Street preachers put in jail, workers losing their jobs for offering prayer and Bible, doctors, nurses, and parents all being reported to employees, the police or terrorism squads all being reported unless they promote the LGBTQ agenda. Bank accounts are closed and charity statuses are removed. She further stressed that the cultural trajectory of the UK serves as a cautionary tale for countries considering legal protections for LGBT-identified individuals. If Korea adopts the same anti-discrimination legislation, the consequences will come much faster. Williams also lamented the lack of response from British churches. Look at this right here. This is what I want to highlight. Williams also lamented the lack of response from British churches as these shifts took place, saying that many have remained silent or even endorsed ideologies that once were considered contrary to traditional beliefs. Guys, if I could put a poster up of emphasizing this podcast today, that is it right there in that paragraph. If churches continue to remain silent, this will take off like wildfire, and this is what's going to produce, again, the people being put in jail, people losing their jobs, people being persecuted heavily, people having their bank accounts closed, people having their charity statuses removed. You'll be ostracized from communities. You do realize, guys, this is all right here. This is all setting the stage for the arrival of the Antichrist. If you think this is bad now, this is a cakewalk compared to what the Antichrist is going to come and do. For example, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel talks about the Antichrist. When he rises to power, he's going to wear down the saints. He's going to persecute the saints. And he's going to intend to change times and laws. Now, it's my opinion. I know everybody's got one. But I believe that the Antichrist of the Bible will eventually be Islamic. And it all makes sense because if a Muslim was to be the Antichrist and he comes to power, he will no doubt, when he forms a caliphate, will change the law to Sharia law. He will change the calendar that we have. There will be no worship on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is the Jews, Sunday is the Christians, and they will revert this back to their calendar, which will be on Friday, where they will worship in a mosque. Okay, so all this is setting the stage, guys, for the arrival of the Antichrist, who will persecute the saints. So he went further, quote, if in Korea you are fast, perhaps it could happen in 2 or 3 years. The church of the United Kingdom has been largely asleep, silent, while this has happened. And it's not just Korea, guys. It's in the West. The West is inundated with churches that are asleep and silent. Evangelical leaders in the church are openly endorsing queer ideology in the church. Do you think this couldn't happen to you? It is happening to us. It is happening here. You don't think it's happening? Let me show you this. The Archbishop of Canterbury has come under fire. Again, this is an archbishop. He has come under heavy fire. What did he say? Well, let's read on. Evangelicals have expressed disbelief at comments made by the Archbishop of Canterbury in which he claimed that homosexual relations is not sinful if it is within a committed relationship. What? This guy just gave us a stamp of approval for two sins. One, fornication, because he said a committed relationship. He didn't say the confines of marriage. And the other strike was if it's a marriage outside of the biblical standard of marriage, which is a marriage between a man and a woman, it's not even acknowledged from God himself. Okay. So that excludes all that. Number two, he's saying that if they're committing acts of homosexuality, it's okay as long as they're in a committed relationship. This is an archbishop saying this. So this is what this woman is talking about when she says that these churches are embracing this ideology, when they're endorsing sin, they're condoning sin, they're silent on sin. And then I love this. She commented by citing Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, which says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Wow. So God bless the South Koreans. All 1.5 million, 2.3 million, or however many millions of them who gathered in the name of Christ to take a stand. Thank God. Praise God for them. And I want to close by saying this. If we don't take a stand, guys, as believers, if we don't take a stand as shepherds, if we don't take a stand as leaders, we, again, just because Trump is now is the president, people think that we can let off the reins. People think that everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be a utopia now. No, No, the church still has to continually be the church. They have to remain on the firing lines. They have to keep the standard. They have to keep it biblical. And we cannot remain silent on the very things that are destroying the fabric of our society. And it's starting in the church itself. So listen, guys, let me know what you think about this, about today's topic. We'd love to hear from you. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, it's available on Apple and Android devices. You can get it today by downloading it, hitting yes to push notifications, and you're going to have every headline, every podcast, every prophecy, viewpoint, breaking news. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. And guys, again, as always, we appreciate your support of our ministry. We are a partner-based ministry, and if you'd like to pray about becoming a monthly partner, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website, right there on YouTube, pinned at the top where it says support in bold letters. You can click there. Or if you wish to get by check or money order, you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we thank you for joining us for this 2 p.m. podcast. We'll be back here tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. Get ready tonight because we're going to equip the body. So if you like teaching and equipping, tonight's going to be the night for you. We're getting away from all of the headlines and all that, and we're going to equip the body of Christ. I'm not going to tell you what the topic is. You're just going to have to show up and find out. So we love you. We appreciate you. We'll see you in a little while.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.